Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to the Sabbath Hour, followed by Team Free State. Thank you all for joining us here at Freedomizer Radio. Come join us in the chat, www.freedomizerradio.com.
Welcome to Sabbath Hour. I'm Brother Gregory, and we talk about the Kingdom of God. And there's been a lot of things in the news. We talked about earlier this morning the booming noises they hear in the Midwest. Someone said, you don't have to worry about anything. These are very deep earthquakes. And, of course, that is what they are. They're cracks in the hard rock that's deep down underneath the large layer of clay that's overshadowing most of the Midwest. And we see cropping up in places like Lowe's Hill, where we have a congregation. And that clay, when it has those cracks underneath the hard rock, pass the sound of those cracking passes up through the clay and causes this booming that we hear up here on the surface where we live. And the reality is that's happened before. One of the other times that there was a reporting of booming noises heard in the Midwest was just before the 1811 to 1814 Midwest earthquakes that took place. Most people are, I just talked to somebody this morning, so I never heard there were earthquakes back in those days. And, of course, the most severe earthquakes in recorded history since the white man came in America were actually not in Los Angeles, but in the Midwest, along the New Madrid Fault. And it changed the course of the Mississippi River, created 20,000-acre lakes. It devastated food supplies that were in root cellars of the people that were there. They became so paranoid because of so many cracks opening and closing during these rolling earthquakes that they would sleep on logs tied together outside so that you would not fall into the cracks and disappear altogether. And they were major quakes. If they took place today, thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people would die from the earthquakes and the floods and the opening and closing of the ground and all these things that would go on. And then the breakage of the gas lines and fuel lines and the disruption of travel on the Mississippi River, the bridges that would collapse, the billions upon billions of dollars worth of damage that would take place if those same earthquakes that we know took place during those periods took place now, happen today, because we've created this heavily dependent society that is dependent upon the infrastructure of that society, which is mechanical or electrical or fuel-driven systems, which if you interrupt the flow of the energy that they need, those systems break down, crops fail, crops aren't planted, crops aren't harvested, and as well as canning plants and refrigeration plants and drying plants, all these things, transportation, all this can be interrupted and bring us to a world of chaos rather quickly. And that's just if they happen there, but they can actually happen all over the world simultaneously. And those of us who have studied geomorphology over the last half century and are doing so with an open mind realize that these events take place on a regular basis throughout the history of this planet. And they will take place again. Are they going to happen right away? No, this is just a little peak. You're just hearing the earth groaning a little bit and you hear these popping noises. There could be a severe earthquake almost any time, but is the massive changes that may take place happening right now? No. And even if they were about to happen, there, and they might cause the death of people from here or there, if we were really doing what we should be doing, we could ride the storm rather well, and we could survive rather well. But we're not doing what we should be doing. We're doing something else. We're very distracted. We're very self-absorbed. And we're going to be in a lot of trouble if we don't change our ways. Now, we can't make other people change their ways, but we can change our ways, and we can gather together with others that want to change their ways. And how do we change those ways? We have to start tending to weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And we have to start caring about our neighbor as much as we care about ourselves. And that will not only change the structure of our society and change the structure of our hearts and our minds, but it will actually have an influence on the actual physical realm that is around us. But we cannot conjure this up because we're not conforming to our imagination. We have to conform to an actual nature of righteousness that many of us have forgotten, and the world would have us forget. And so we need to turn around on that subject. Now, what we talked about this morning was woman. What is a woman? What is not a woman? What is the essence of a woman? I mean, woman was created in the image of God. Man was created in the image of God, yet women and men seem to be different, and for a good reason. The difference, it goes a lot deeper than skin. The mentality, the perceptive point of view of women is often very much different than men. And there's a reason for this. It's like man is not complete without woman. God saw that man was not good that he was alone and created this complementary creature we call woman that actually creates a balance from an imbalance, which is a kind of a paradox. Was that you, Cheryl? Were you saying something? Or I don't know if I was hearing feedback or what. Anyway, we'll keep going. Yeah, if there's calls, just interrupt me anytime. But
okay, will do.
Oh, you're there. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I keep my phone muted because with people walking by,
right.
The dog.
And the dogs. Yeah, that's okay. I just heard something click in my ear, and I wasn't sure if you were trying to get my attention or not, but it could have been the phone or something. But anyway, always good to know you're there, Cheryl. So anyway, we spent 2.5 hours on this topic this morning of the distinctiveness of and importance of that character of woman that the world would have you do away with. And God created for a purpose. And what spawned this was some of these events where, you know, they want to create forced insurance, and then they want to, some people, this lady was whining that she, and I will use the word whining, I don't have to worry about my sponsors, I don't have any, but Rush Limbaugh pointed out that the woman was this woman of ill repute. He used a particular word that everybody kind of supposedly shies away from, but I actually think it was a fairly accurate description because her insurance provider was not providing her with birth control, which, you know, birth control is not something you need because you have a disease. It isn't like you broke your leg and you need birth control. Birth control is needed as the result of choices, and you make choices and you should be responsible for those choices. And so I don't necessarily disagree with his statement, and his apology was basically that he apologized for stooping and using the word, but not what he said, and I think rightly so. But the controversy that surrounded that eventually led to another interview by somebody else on another radio station, and I actually heard the call in. I don't listen to a lot of radio because I'm always on the move, but I happened to be trapped in a vehicle traveling down the road, and I turn on talk shows, and this lady called in, a woman called in, and was talking about, we don't want to go back. We have made tremendous progress in the status of women today, that we're out in the workplace, we're establishing ourselves in the business world. We have marked success in the business world. And those women who want to just remain barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen and do nothing with their lives, we should not follow their example. but evidently we're supposed to follow this woman's example. And to me, that, you know, of course, I'm a country hick, live way out in the country, and I thought, that is just crazy. That's the most insane thing I ever heard. This woman is degrading the idea of staying home and being a homemaker and a mother and a wife. And to me, that is the noblest of professions. You know, men don't open doors for women and tip their hats to women for centuries and protect women for centuries because of the fact that they're successful in the business world. It's because they had the most sacred responsibility of society. They give birth to society. No one in society is here except through the graces and perfection of a woman. That's where we come from. We're born out of women. And hopefully there's a husband and a man of character, of the character of Christ, helping her in the sacred job that she has of rearing the essential elements of society, which is other people. That's where we're born, is in the family. And if the family breaks down, society is doomed. That job of that woman in the kitchen is health of the family. She was health, education, and welfare. She was the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare until the government took over the job. And the government became not only your father, but your mother. And now they try to make women superfluous and actually condemn that role of homemaker and mother and wife. You know, women are doing this. They have become impotent when they do that. They think they have made something of their life, and they have wasted their life, while that woman at home has given life, created life, and nurtured life. And we as a society, those of us as a society that sees this insanity of this progressive socialism that is destroying the family, the very fabric of society, need to turn around and go back to those values and realize that that position of a woman is a sacred position, a responsible position, a sought-after career of raising a family. It isn't easy to do it right. Now, today, you know, I mean, like women used to make bread and make a cake from scratch. Now they use a Betty Crocker mixer, buy frozen cake a lot of times. Not everybody, but a lot of them do. And, of course, they're buying these synthesized foods and pre-prepared meals that are poison to their families. But there are still women that are going out and growing healthy foods and producing good meals and looking at diet to improve the diet of their families, improve the health. Because why are they doing it? Out of love. When the government takes over health, education, and welfare, they're not doing it out of love. They're doing it for the job, for the salary, for the power that they get. And we see that in some of the indiscriminate abuses of bureaucracy. Just before I went on the air, someone was reminding me of the story of the man who had a good, successful business. He was importing fish and selling a good product. And somewhere along the line, he did not find out that the country that he was importing the seafood from had a law on their books that they didn't even pay any attention. Somebody passed a law at one time, probably lobbied in by a cardboard manufacturer, that seafood had to be shipped in a certain size and shape and condition box. And he was buying it in these bags. And it was all frozen. It came in clean. There was no problem with health. But the statute in that country required that it be in a certain kind of box. He did not know that. The people in that country were not enforcing the rule anymore. It was a rule that, like I said, was probably lobbied in by the cardboard manufacturer in order to sell more boxes. But the United States has a treaty that says that you cannot import anything from guitars to what have you unless if you violate the local ordinance in the country that you are importing it from. So this man was raided, and his business was seized, and he went to jail for years now. Because he didn't use cardboard boxes. Now, the people in that country, nobody cares. They're not enforcing that. It was put out at one time as a law, but nobody's even you know, they're letting the stuff go out. It all had the stamps of approval. It wasn't smuggled out of the country. There was no complaint from the people who made the law and are supposed to enforce the law, but the United States agency is enforcing the law. We saw the same thing happen with Gibson Guitars, where they're raiding the Gibson Guitar place. The bureaucracy is out of hand. They have strayed from their supposed purpose, but in reality, they never have. Their purpose was to have power and control. And why did you elect men to have power and control? Because you wanted power and control. And I know all of you haven't, but the reality is that's the power that we have given democracy, is to have power and control. Force your neighbor to pay for your child's education. Force your neighbor to pay for your health care. Force your neighbor to pay for your birth control. Degrade the position of a woman as mother and wife and nurturer of the family as if that is a despicable career, but selling insurance, being a commercial bureaucrat, is a career woman. We are to look up to her. She's an impotent eunuch. She has abandoned the very nature of her being to become something that she should not be. Now, I'm not picking on all women. I'm picking on those who don't want to be women, who want to be something else, because we don't know what women are. And I could do the same thing with men. But the show this morning was on women. So, and I'm not picking on women, because there are many women out there that have that character. They are virtuous women. And the Bible says such women are more precious than a ruby. But what I'm pointing out is in our society, we have come to the point where we are calling good women bad. Homemakers, you know, where a woman is referring to her as barefoot and pregnant and too lazy to pursue a career. That is a career. That is a job. It is a sacred job. It is the most important job of society. And society has forgotten that. But we haven't forgotten that, and we remember that. And we respect that position of a woman. And I think that those of you who are willing to see how far away from these kingdom principles that we have gotten need to go back. We need to make our wives and our mothers' health, education, and welfare again. We need to become men who love our wives as Christ loved the church, self-sacrificing, providing for their needs. And when a husband lets a woman down, those in the congregation need to step up and take his place and rebuke him at the same time. And help those women train their children. Get them out of public schools. Home teach them. Learn about good diet. Learn where we can get good food. One of the things we have is Seed Savers in our network. And they're saving seeds from their gardens, all kinds, learning how to do it, learning how to preserve those seeds and sharing them out. I sent out a big envelope full of seeds just this other week here for someone who requested it. And we have more, and we're going to grow even more this year in seed production because we found that this particular sweet meat squash actually helps diabetics balance their diet. It's remarkably sweet, keeps real well, and it will help feed your family when the New Madrid fault actually does begin to shake and things begin to break down. This society is following this progressive socialistic ideas of ancient Rome that brought about its decline and collapse, brought about the immorality, the perversion of the use of women and men, and men and men, and women and women. Which is not the problem. It is the evidence of the problem. The problem is that we have become a selfish people. We need to be taking care of one another. And usually, used to be, that the wife was the nurturer, the mother was the nurturer and caregiver of the family. Not that men don't need to know how to do that too, but that was one of the elements of their characteristic that made them so special. But now they farm their children out. And they go out to have a career, as if somebody has told you to be a mother and a housewife and a homemaker is not a career. And that is insane, because institutions will not produce the same kinds of people that made this country great. Only great people produce great people. And those great people are the women who stay at home and take care of their family and nurture their family and provide for their family. The wives and the mothers and daughters of our household are the confectionaries of God when they take care of their family. But we read in Samuel 8 where it says that if you go seeking to have someone else rule over you, exercise authority over you, have a king, a prime minister, or a president who will protect and provide for your security. And God refers to this as a rejection of him because they have rejected me from the beginning, and that's what we've done. And he told us what would happen. You would have a government that would make its instruments poor and make your sons run before its chariots and make your daughters his confectionaries and cooks. And that's what these career women have become. They have become human resources for the beast. And that beast was born out of the beast in each of us to covet our neighbor's goods, to take from our neighbor, to bludgeon our brother so that we may benefit. And that's what we've done. But we've also done it to our daughters until they actually don't even know what it is to be a mother, a wife, a homemaker. They don't know what that means anymore. And now, I know many of the young people that might be listening to this show, they might have an idea. But the idea is squelched in this society, strangled in this society, and someone needs to shine a light on the value of that woman to society, because society's in a lot of trouble and we need to turn around and go another way. And so that's why we've created the network, to start to introduce and meet people that are beginning to see that we have taken a wrong turn. We've gone down the wrong road. We have followed after the ways of Rome, and we will reap the destruction of Rome. And unfortunately, even though there was massive earthquakes at the time that Rome began to slide into destruction, we see that with like Pompeii erupting, etc. There were earthquakes at the time of Christ that were felt probably around the world. And these were preludes. These were messages of a major change. One of the interesting things I found in geology is that the magnetic field of the Earth has been decreasing steadily for hundreds of years. And they can go back and they can test the magnetic field in rocks that were in places where there was either lava flows or there were fires and hearths, etc. And they find, when they track this back, that the magnetic field was as strong as it has been in thousands of years, 2,000 years ago, at the time of Christ. It has been steadily decreasing ever since that point. It's like we're going down to zero. Of course, we're not going to zero. I mean, that would be devastating. But the reality is it is getting weaker. They've actually had to change the markings on airports, runways, to realign them and shut down the airport to repaint them because the magnetic field is shifting. So there's change coming. And it's come before. It's just that our heavy dependence upon a society that is so technologically dependent is not a good thing. We need to be independent of that, and not just on an individual basis, because that won't be enough, but on a society basis. But they're not going to vote it in. They couldn't vote it in anyway. You have to make your vow that you are going to move in that direction of the ways of Christ, because the early Christians were able to weather those storms. They even had those amongst them that gave premonitions that something was going to happen, and they prepared for it, so they were ready on the spot. Our FEMA should be a faith emergency ministry auxiliary, run through an assembly of people who gather together and do not compel offerings, but depend upon free will offerings of those who have, who are willing to share with those who don't have. And those that don't have can't be just those who won't work, but those who actually are the what we call the worthy poor, those people who are hardworking, industrious people that fall on hard times because, what, an earthquake in their community, a fire in their community. We had a fire in the community to the north, burned down the old folks' home to the ground, just burned it down. Of course, I know that many of the people up in that community opened their doors to take these people in and provide them with clothes. They lost everything. That has been the history of this community. But we're a rare community. That doesn't always happen out there in the cities. So anyway, we need to take a good look at what it means to be a virtuous woman and start raising our daughters up in those understandings, to be and to take on that noble position of mother and wife and homemaker. That's not a degrading position. I don't know where people have got that. Why have they swallowed such a lie? That is the most responsible job you can get. That is the most noble career you can have, to be the birthplace of society, the guardians of virtue. And, you know, to those women, I take off my hat and open the door. The other ones can get their own dang door. That was the gist of what we talked about earlier this morning on at Liberty Live and on the Blog Talk Radio. And I thought I would share that with you, and I'm not sure where we're going to go in the second half of the show, but there is a call-in number if you have any calls that you want to make, which is 347-324-3704. And I'll give that number one more time for those of you, in case I said it too fast, you couldn't write it down, but if you have a question, you can dial this number, which is 347-324-3704. And we'll go to a break here, and you hear a word from the sponsors that make this program possible. And when we come back, if you have any questions, just dial that number and we'll try to answer them. I hope the chat room is up. Cheryl usually monitors the chat room. I can't see it from here. And we'll try to answer any of your questions. But I really want to thank all the women who are real women, women of virtue. They are more precious than a ruby, as Proverbs says, and because they are the guardians of society, and we need to help them. The men need to make it possible that they be that health, education, and welfare for that society, born in the family. The family is God's institution. He had a plan. We need to get back to that plan. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Cheryl, and she'll bring in the commercials. I think it's time for that, if I remember. Yeah, it's time for that. So, Cheryl, are you there?
I am. Thank you very much. I appreciated your message. So thank you for sharing with us. You're listening to the Sabbath Hour, hosted by Freedomizer Radio. And we'll be back after this short commercial break.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Well, we're back. Thank you very much. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. I wanted to say just for a second, shout out to both of my daughter-in-laws. Both of my sons married wonderful women who have stayed home with their children. And I can't say how much of a difference I think that makes. So I appreciate them very, very much.
Yeah, I really, you know, of course, my wife, we were able to, she stayed home and raised our six children. And my daughters and my daughter-in-law has stayed home and raised her kids. She would occasionally work out when they had an opportunity to play that shift and they needed a little extra money, but they were back at it and homeschooled their kids up into the older ages and did remarkably good jobs with them. Although there's quite a – that's another network that we're starting in our Living Network is helping people learn the different curriculums of homeschooling and what works best, and people sharing their knowledge and experience of these really important endeavors of educating your children. Because the schools that I went to when I was younger, I went to all private schools, but it was many, many years ago. And even though that there has been a distortion of the history books even by then, today what they're learning in school is not good. You do not want to send your kids to public school if you can avoid it. And a lot of times that takes a community of people helping you in order to do that. We talked to a family that really is a good family, strong family. They did send their kids to public school. They debated the homeschooling issue amongst themselves, but they were worried about the fact that the children might not have the social structure. And the reality is that the statistics are coming out that the children who are home-taught, generally speaking, are far superior in their social skills than those that go to school. When you go to school, you end up developing three personalities, one for your teachers, one for your friends, and one for your parents at home. And this is why kids are being graduated from high school and they don't really know who they are because they've been all these different things. There isn't the kind of scrutiny of a child that there was in the old one-room schoolhouses. There wasn't the kind of environment that there was in the old one-room schoolhouses. One of the things when they offered me a teaching position in a private school over in Western Oregon, I refused it because I said I don't believe in single-age education. I think it's really bad. That's just one step. But single-education is not good where they put all the – can you imagine putting a whole room full of 13-year-olds in the same place? I mean, that isn't the one-room schoolhouse. It's not natural. The family is multiple ages. And what happens when you put multiple ages together in a public in a school, even a one-room schoolhouse, not public school, private school? I always recommend private school. You shouldn't be forcing your neighbor to pay for your child's education. But when they're in this multi-aged environment, the older kids are actually matured by the presence of the younger kids who look up to them. It's a natural situation. Now, of course, you need proper supervision under these conditions, which means you have to be very careful in the choice of your teacher. It needs to be somebody of high moral stature. Now, today, in the public schools, that isn't necessarily a requirement to have a high moral stature and character and values. As a matter of fact, if you have certain religious values, you're not even allowed to speak about them in school. A video to watch on this, one of the better ones, there's a lot of them out there, but recently anyway, I saw Indoctrination. And we may have somebody from that outfit or the people who produced the film on our show. There's people working on that. But it's a very interesting film to show you how, I mean, it was shocking to people who wanted to send their kids to school because they thought it was important to have their children there to show a Christian presence in the school. But the reality is it doesn't work out that way, that your children are at risk and you're putting them at risk. You're putting them on the front lines of corruption, which is in the schools. That's where the progressives have gone. I mean, if you were going to be a child molester, where do you want a job? Children's services. That's where you want to go. And in reality, that has happened. And it actually is ongoing here in the state of Oregon, where known child molesters are working in children's services. You can't imagine. Why are they doing that? Well, we can't. You know, they paid their debt to society. You're putting people at risk. And there's something that takes place. You know, it used to be an old saying that, you know, if you play with a skunk, figure on stinking. The fact is, if you have immoral people in charge of taking care of your children, you know, one of the crimes that are on have become a tremendous problem, a tremendous rise in the crime is teachers having relations, sexual relations with underage children. I mean, we've seen the headline news of some young woman having relations with, as a teacher with her students, 14-year-old students, and goes to jail. And when she finally comes out of jail, he's now of age and they get married. There's something strange going on in our society. We should not be turning our children over to these public schools. So, and in order for a lot of parents to teach their kids at homes, it needs a network of support. And that's what the churches should be doing, is supporting and helping those parents, and so that they don't have a problem. Like I said, most homeschoolers excel in social skills and able to fit in with all ages of society, while kids that grow up in public school, they're very cliquish and they fit in with their age group, but they don't really mix with other little kids. When my sons did go down to the local school for games because they knew some of the kids there, my oldest son, he would go over and talk to the old men. He would go over and talk to the little kids. He would talk to the kids his age. He would talk to the local police. He would talk to all kinds of, he could converse with everybody. But he was homeschooled. He was supposed to be socially retarded. You know, and I don't know how many parents who actually tried to cause us trouble when we started homeschooling our children some 30-some years ago, come back to us and say, you know, you've done an excellent job with your kids. I mean, they really turned out well. And I don't know what's the matter with my kids. They got all kinds of goofy ideas. And I says, well, the difference, what's the difference between your kids and my kids? You sent your kids to public school. You cannot imagine. And that indoctrination gives you a glimpse, really only a glimpse of the influence that is being put on your children by sending them to public school. So anybody who's not taking their kids out of public school or debating or considering it, join the network, join a local network, get a hold of, a lot of homeschoolers are working together, because there's an actual war being planned against those parents who are homeschooling their children. And mark my words, you're going to see sensationalized stories of some occasional homeschooling parents who do a bad job that will defame the idea of homeschooling, when in reality they don't tell you about there's a building, I think it's in New York City, I can't remember what's, I've seen it in another video on some of the problems with the public school system, where parents, not parents, but teachers have been convicted of child, you know, molesting. But they already had tenure, so they can't fire them. But the court order says they can't be near children. So they actually, there's actually a whole building full of these teachers. They all go to the same building. They go in there and they just read magazines and they just talk all day. There's no kids allowed in there. They're still collecting full salary as teacher. Because they can't fire them. Huh?
That's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous is all get out, but this is the kind of things that the teacher unions have lobbied in, that they got tenure. It's not their fault they're a child molester. It's a disease. It's a psychological problem. You know, whatever. You know, it's insane. You know, that remedy would not have been the remedy 50 years ago. It's the remedy today. And they get full salary and they'll get pensions when they finally retire from going to this. They have a particular name for it. I can't remember what they call the building. It's kind of ironic or paradoxical anyway. But this actually goes on. And I don't know how many cities it goes on in, but because of these unions, they've lobbied in these things where you can't fire them because they had tenure by the time they got caught. And now that they can't go near children, but they still, you know, collecting. If those people wanted to teach remotely over, you know, a video in another room, I wouldn't want them to even talk to my children. That has an influence. I mean, you know, and I'm not condemning those people. Hopefully they will repent. And they will turn around and change their ways. But the reality is they've lost the opportunity to access my children. It will take a long time before I would trust my children with them. You know, they are dead to access to my children because of the and they should be. And they shouldn't be allowed near children. But they shouldn't be getting a salary because you can't fire them. So anyway, those are the kinds of things. And there was a quote I was reading from Proverbs 5:3. And, you know, I didn't get to read the last two verses that I was going to read, which is 12 and 13. And it says, "And say, how have I hated instructions and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to them that instructed me." Now, where that Proverbs 5:3 starts up there in verse 3, it says, "For the lips of the strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Proverbs mentions women more than any other book in the Bible. But the women they're talking about is this system, this seductive system, not the virtuous woman. They do talk about the virtuous woman in Proverbs. But all these concepts and precepts have many layers. And what, again, what we're seeing as the decline and fall of modern society, the corruption of modern society, the corruption of our youth, is the end result of some very basic abandonment of precepts and principles that should be paramount in our lives, which is, you know, God created the institution of holy matrimony and this union of man and woman and the production of new life through the family is a sacred institution established by God, and we are abandoning that. Historians will agree across the board that the breakdown of the family was a major mover in the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. And we certainly have seen that same breakdown in modern society. And it requires us, whether, you know, we've had divorces or we've had broken marriages, it doesn't matter, to turn around. We need to work. When I've conducted marriage ceremonies, the church doesn't marry people. They marry each other, but we will help conduct the ceremony to bear witness. And what you do is the people who attend the marriage are witnesses to that marrying of each other, the exchange of vows. And the preacher is just kind of the orchestrator of the event. He doesn't actually bind them. And that's actually, you can find that in churches back in history. But the modern people aren't married in churches. They're married in the eyes of the state. They actually form a three-party contract between them, the spouse, and the state. But what I was going to say is that when I perform the ceremony, I turn to the audience, to the people there that are bearing witness, that they aren't here just to see that these vows are made or were made at this given time. But they have a perpetual responsibility to do everything in their power to keep this family alive and healthy. If they don't exercise that responsibility, their society will be weakened by it. If they do, their society will be strengthened by it. And there's an actual spiritual blessing that comes when you do that. I've seen some community churches actually undermining marriage, actually making it difficult for a husband and wife to find the forgiveness to work out those conflicts. And they take sides that are not righteous sides. They actually even needle and weave deception to break down that marriage union. I've seen this in many churches do this, where the people in the churches, you need to be contrary to that. And that quote in Proverbs 5, where it talks about the lips of a strange woman, this is the, you know, most of the time in the Bible when they talk about fornication and adultery, at least especially adultery, they're talking about national adultery, where you make the vows and covenants not with, you know, God's kingdom, but with these other kingdoms. And that's how you go whoring after these other gods, is by making these covenants. It goes on to say, her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. This is that strange woman, this other alternative system, other than the system of God, which is based on the family. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, and thou canst not know them. And that's what we see, that they're very clever, they're very deceptive. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, this strange woman, and come not nigh the door of her house. But that's what we do. We take our children to the door of her house, which is the public school system, and put our children in that. I know that it's kind of frightening and confusing sometimes to think that, oh, well, I can't train up my kids. I can't believe my daughter is so much better at homeschooling than I was. She is doing a so much better job than we did because we didn't know. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to do it. We fumbled around. We tried different books. We tried different curriculums. But we did a pretty good job. But she's doing a better job. And the fact is, if you want to do homeschooling, everybody in your church, everybody in your community should be helping you do that, encouraging you in doing that. And those of you who've already had your children and raised your children, you should get involved with the local homeschoolers and help them and bring your skills and your knowledge to them. It says, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house, this strange woman, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. Isn't that what's happened? And thy labors be in the house of a stranger. You labor in the house of a stranger. We have gone down into the pit of the adversary. We have been gobbled up by the elements of the world. We have returned to the bondage of Egypt, because we found the lips of the strange woman sweet. That's why strange woman is this system of progressive socialism. And it is destroying the family. And we're seeing the results of that. And some people say, oh, we have to slow down progressive socialism. No, you have to turn around and go another entirely different way. And this turning around is the repentance that John talks about, what Jesus talks about, that the apostle talks about, is going this other way, to become health, education, and welfare through the spiritual enlightenment of husband and wife united together according to the ways of Christ. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Don't wait till the last. Don't wait till it's too late. Start gathering together now. Set aside your eschatologies and your ideologies. It's simple. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Gather together not for what you can get out of that gathering, but what you can bring to that gathering. Because that's the nature of God, and that's the reality is society wants you to make you in a new nature. And this is why this woman thinks that she is more a woman because she is less a woman. She thinks she is more a woman because she has become more a man. She's out there in the world succeeding in business, bossing people around and ruling over a business. I don't know what she actually does, but and she degrades the noblest of professions. And we need to hold that profession up and honor that profession. Honor our fathers and our mothers by becoming good fathers and mothers ourselves. And understanding that the role of the mother is health, education, and welfare in her society. We've all seen, there's videos out floating around, what is it, Food Inc. Good one to get, to show you what they're doing to your food supply. And it's a tip of the iceberg of what's going on in your food supply. Film will show you that you need to be cooking the food. It's the only way you're going to get a good diet. You can't go to the store and get a good diet. you need to be connecting with other agricultural groups in your area that are making what they call CSAs, community supported agriculture. These dairy people that are being thrown into jail for selling raw milk. You should be thrown into jail. Say again.
That's horrible.
Oh, yeah. Going on in Wisconsin, there's a guy being tried. Are you aware of those?
I am aware of those.
Okay. Right. Okay. I didn't think I'd be breaking the news to you.
But I'm so shocked every time I hear it. It's not like it gets any easier to hear.
Absolutely.
It shocks me because it's so outrageous.
Yeah.
We should actually
be putting people into jail for selling homogenized milk.
Exactly. Caller from area code 845. You're on the air.
Hi, Brother Gregory.
Hi.
Hi, it's Isabel again.
Okay.
I just want to tell you that room, that place that you were talking about, teachers that are child molesters, it's called the Rubber Room.
Rubber Room.
Yeah, and it does exist. Really true.
Yeah, I couldn't remember it. I was thinking it was something like that, but I would think that I was getting it off so wrong.
Anyway, everything you said is true, so.
Okay, there's second witness. You can't beat that.
Yeah,
and
All right.
I don't know how many states this is in. That's in New York, because you're in New York.
Yeah, I'm in New York right now, so,
yeah.
And I'm a teacher also in New York.
That's right. Yes, you are a teacher in New York.
Yeah, so they do exist.
Yeah, and it's just staggering to my mind, and I know Cheryl was kind of flabbergasted at it, but these are the stories you won't get on Fox News.
That's true.
Well, thanks for the call.
Okay, Rubber Room. Bye.
Okay, God bless. Yeah, you almost have to put me in a padded room if I keep hearing these stories, because this is, I must be nuts. Yeah, somebody's nuts. But anyway, what we were talking about, the dairy, it's almost criminal what they're putting in your milk, from formaldehyde to what have you, and homogenized milk is not good for you. They don't homogenize milk in order to bring healthier milk to you. They're actually destroying the product. And a lot of people can drink homogenized milk and not suffer from it, but a great deal of medical problems, allergies and what have you, is the result of homogenized milk. Whole milk has a – and then also the way in which the dairies are operating, the hormones and the antibodies that they're using, because they're forcing these cows to produce unbelievable amounts of milk in order to pay off the banks, The reality is the CSAs and the community-supported agricultural groups are, they're not doing everything perfect, but they're moving in the right direction. They see a problem, and they're doing something. They're tending to the problem, and we need to gather together with those and support them. And those people are going to need to become a part of the network as well. And the network is bound together not by contract but by relationships. In order to create those relationships, it takes time, takes energy, takes reaching out. And we need to do that so that when they try to put somebody in jail for selling whole milk, absolutely clean, way more precautions often go into the production of this whole milk product than they do in the formaldehyde-ridden products that you buy in the store. When they come after them, we need to be standing there with those men and women and backing them and saying, no, we want this milk. I tell you, you fill that courtroom with 500 people, 1,000 people, they're not going to have that guy in their court anymore. They're going to tell those bureaucrats who are harassing them, leave this guy alone. And all it takes is networking. You got to show up. You got to be a Minutemen for each other. Same way you're going to see homeschooling under attack. We already do in many places. People in Sweden, I mentioned the story before on the air, is that fellow in Sweden, there's only about 90 homeschoolers in Sweden. at least that we know of, because they're all underground, because it's a crime. You can go to jail for homeschooling. And so people who are trying to homeschool are actually fleeing the country. You know, they have to hide their children. You know, it's like the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang guy, you know, who's lollipopping out there. I think that they actually showed clips from that in Indoctrination. But that's what they're doing. That it's a crime to teach your children. And so Proverbs, when it says, have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, you should be the teachers of your children. You should be instilling their values. And that means homeschooling. In order to homeschool, you're going to need to come together in a network of doers. And that's why, go to hisholychurch.org. Go up there and click. I'm sure there are a lot of other people networking, but we need to have representation so that we connect all these groups, homeschooling, health, CSAs, connect them through this network. Join the network in your area. Get to know the people in your area and get organized, not organized by anything but love for one another, love for righteousness. That's why, you know, seeking righteousness does not mean singing songs. It means actually seeking righteousness, not only for yourself, but for others. You shouldn't be going to jail because you didn't use cardboard boxes. You shouldn't be going to jail because you produced whole milk. It's insane. You should be going to jail for molesting children, but no, you get paid to do that. Paid to live, do no work whatsoever and get paid because you do that. But if you sell whole milk, you go to jail. Are you waiting for things to get bad? Because it's already happened. The progressives have already won. The next step is chaos in their plan. We already have chaos in the courts. We have chaos with no righteousness in the courts. You can change that, but you have to come together. And you have to come together not in fear, not in anxiety, not in anger, not in resentment, but in love. Love for righteousness, love for one another. If you can't do that, you do not have the Holy Spirit. You do not have Christ in you. You have some sort of counterfeit Christ in you. Don't worship your doctrine. Worship God. Do what he says. Love one another. Come, do not forsake the gathering together. So anybody who hasn't joined the network already should, and I think we're running over our time. Stop me. I just saw the clock.
Oh, my goodness. I love to listen to you. I mean, you know, I'd love to give you another hour.
I gotta go spend at least an hour with my wife today. So.
Oh well, okay.
I've got more
okay.
calls this afternoon and this evening. So, and I think I've used up my quota of neglect. So.
You may be right. Okay, well, very much once again. Brother Gregory, for joining us today. We really appreciate having you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to play just a little short recess here, and I'm going to check. We have another caller coming in. I'm going to check and see who that is. Hi, caller. Skype caller.
This is Cookie.
Oh, hi, Cookie. Oh, I didn't realize you were calling in on Skype. Okay, honey, we'll be right with you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Cookie is up with the Teen Free State program coming up next. So this is Cheryl. See the power in the chat room. Come on, join us at freedomizerradio.com. We'd love to have you come and participate with us. If you missed the first part of this program, if you're just tuning in and you missed Brother Gregory's talk today, I hope that you will dig around in our archives and find the Sabbath show for today, because he did a wonderful presentation. So we'll duck out for brief commercial messages, and we'll be right back. Be sure and find Brother Gregory at hisholychurch.org. I didn't play his outro today with his little jingle, so I apologize for that, Brother Gregory. I hope that you will go and find his website. He provides an awful lot of really wonderful reading material for free. And podcasts, if you like his message, you can certainly get your fill. So, Cookie!
Hi.
Did you get a chance to listen to the previous program?
Yes, I sure did. He's always very, very, very good. I enjoy his programs.
I do, too. And, you know, I just want to take one more opportunity to say thank you to both of my daughter-in-laws. Wendy and Cynthia both are stay-at-home moms doing the deed. In fact, Cynthia just started homeschooling my two eldest grandchildren this past year. So I commend her for taking on that wonderful responsibility. It was
I was fortunate enough to be a at-home mom and homeschool my children when they were young, but I'm 60 now. And I did it way back when it wasn't even popular.
I didn't even know homeschooling was available, to be honest with you. When my children were small, not that I could have. I mean, under my particular circumstances, being a single mom when my kids were just starting school, I was very fortunate that I had them in private school for the first 2 years. My eldest son was in private school for 2 years, and the youngest son in there for 1 year. And I know how difficult it was for them to go from private school into public school. It was like culture shock for them.